God, that I would now seek to bring before you this evening, you'll find in the prophecy of Haggai, the first chapter, reading verse 13. The prophecy of Haggai, the first chapter, reading verse 13. Then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, in the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. During the time that the Second Temple was being built, the prophets Haggai and Zechariah prophesied, and they were with the people in this great work as the Lord led them and helped them. And as we have read this prophecy together, we have read of different occasions the Lord has given to us, differing dates, at differing times, when the Lord gave to his servant a message. And as the Lord is still being pleased to continue that work which he himself has appointed in the salvation of sinners, and not only in this, but in the lives of the Lord's people, in the life of the nation, there is the need continually to be favored, to hear the Lord's voice. Now we have come this day to a certain date in the seventh month of this year. We have read together tonight of the seventh month and the ninth month, occasions when God gave to his servant a message for the people. Well, my longing desire this evening is that it might be so with us. What a reward it would be for a poor, sinful instrument to be favored, indeed to be the Lord's messenger in the Lord's message. I'd first of all speak, with the Lord's help, a word of exhortation. Dear friends, as you gather here, from Sabbath to Sabbath, and from week to week, I believe you are favored with a living ministry. But I do hope that you will not forget this. Not only is there the need, and oh, the need that there is, for God's servants to be given a message to come with, and a true servant of God is so exercised in this matter. They are shown constantly that without me ye can do nothing. They are shown constantly that unless the Lord gives a message, there cannot be any real blessing. It will be just like that this evening. If this is not a message from the Lord, then there cannot be blessing. It is so solemnly important that God's servants be given messages that are suitable, that will prove to be words in season. But I would just remind you, and I have proved this, and sometimes especially, that it is as the Lord favours his dear people with the spirit of grace and of supplication, that wrestling spirit of prayer for the servants of God, that they might indeed come where you are, that they may find you, that they may have a message for you. I'm going to ask a question tonight in affection. I wonder how many of you have had cause to pray for God's servants today. One of God's servants has been with you this morning, truly thankful that he could come, and as one has ventured here again this evening. Oh, have you prayed for the minister? You will remember, I believe, most if not all of you, that in the life of Moses, when Aaron and Hur held up his hands, that they prevailed against their enemy. But as soon as Moses' hands were heavy through weariness, and when his hands hung down, then the Amalekites prevailed. And that is still true today. As the Lord's servant's hands are held up by prayer. Now I well know that we cannot give ourselves that true spirit of prayer. And yet, to be exercised to ask for it is a great mercy. For anyone to say, well, I cannot pray, and to leave it there, I feel reveals that there is that lack of life. A child of God is constantly shown that they cannot pray unless the Holy Spirit helps them and guides them. And then they are favoured. But oh, it is to be prayed for. And the Lord has said in his word, return unto me, and I will return unto you. There are those exhortations to prayer. I know there are those here tonight that have proved from time to time that this is truth that I have tried to mention. Those of you here who have known occasions of real need, deep concern before God, and when you have been helped to lay your case before him and have sought for a blessing, have sought for a word from God, have there not been the occasions when prayer has been answered and you've really felt there's been something for you? The late dear Mr. Dawson used to use this expression, suffer a word of exhortation. And the Lord was pleased to use that servant of God to speak to my soul for the first time in my life. So how important then this is. When there is gracious exercise in those who gather in the pew, there is nothing that the Lord cannot do in answer to prayer. I've proved it. God's servants are exhorted to speak that we do know and to testify of that we have seen. Now here then, the Lord had given to his servant Haggai a message. And the message that he had to deliver from his God was this: I am with you, saith the Lord. Oh, if the Holy Spirit should convey this into trembling hearts here this evening, you will go home with it. You will go home with that humble hope, with a softened heart, that this same Almighty God will be with you. And the Lord alone knows what may lie in your path. But I must be faithful in seeking, first of all this evening, to remind you that this message was delivered to a people who had been humbled under the mighty hand of God. It is very evident that there had been a solemn slackness in their lives. What I mean is, with them, there had been neglect of the house of God, the ways of God. They had been left for a season to be taken up with the things of this life in such a way and to such an extent that the things of God had taken second place. Now this is a solemn condition to be in. As we meet together in the house of God, the Lord only knows all that is going on in our life. Whether the things of this world are taking first place, whether we are so taken up with time things that we have perhaps even come into a condition of those spoken of in the New Testament, there were those who began to make excuse as to why they couldn't come to the supper that had been prepared. Now the supper had been prepared by the king. I'm going just to turn to this for a moment as it has come into my thoughts. As we are favoured to meet again this evening, we still meet under the gospel dispensation. And still the Lord sends forth his servant. Still his word is proclaimed. Still that exhortation is true: forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Oh, friends, I do not know what is in any of your lives at this present time, but I must seek to be faithful to your soul. The people that were invited to this Blessed Supper, which really sets before us the gospel dispensation, the proclamation of the Word of God, the gathering together for worship. Now, in the first instance in this parable, we have these words. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. I am persuaded in this parable that the king is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And who has in his mercy made a way wherein poor sinners can come? But the servant in this parable, I feel, is the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit's divine prerogative to go forth and to find those whom who have been loved eternally. No man can do this. There are those who speak of these truths in this way and suggest that this is something that must be done. But it is the Holy Spirit's divine work to quicken souls into life and to bring them to the feet of Jesus. If the Lord is pleased to use any of his servants in this, and he does use them, he has used them. This is that he has ordained, that by the foolishness of preaching, to save them that believe. But if the Lord uses anyone to speak a word in season, to speak a word that he is pleased to use, so that souls may be quickened into life, it is the Holy Spirit that is speaking through those whom the Lord uses. No minister has power to quicken a soul into life. No person has this power. Only the Holy Spirit. And yet even in this, we might well echo the words of Joseph Hart, and has the Holy Ghost forgot to quicken souls that Christ has bought and let them lifeless lie? Oh, no. No, we can say this, that this will never be. That everyone that has been ordained to eternal life will be brought into the kingdom of God. Everyone will be brought through the gateway of regeneration and eternally gathered in to be with Christ forever. Now, as this, the Holy Spirit goes forth, and we do need to remember, I hope we may feel tonight, that God has given to us another opportunity to be at chapel, another service. But if we are exercised, it will be something much more than just coming. That in itself is good. I am thankful to see all of you here tonight. But only the Holy Spirit shining into our hearts can reveal to us why we have come. The motive that has brought us. Why Are we here tonight? You see, we've been given another opportunity. We may not be given another. For how soon the hand of death could come. So how solemn then it is to gather in the house of God. How solemn it is to hear the gospel preached. Now we have then here those, and I just read it, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said unto him, and oh, that we might feel tonight the truth of this, really, this is speaking to the Lord. Now in your life, are first things first? Are the exercises of your soul uppermost? I know that only the Lord can grant you this. But those of you that have known it, and one can sincerely say that we have known this. We have known those times in our life when the things to do with our soul outweighed everything else. It outweighed everything else in our life. It outweighed those near and dear to us. It did not mean that we ceased to love them. I believe we love them more. It did not mean that we did not attend to our daily duties. I believe that we attended to them with more vigor, more feeling. Having that exercise within our heart to do all things as unto the Lord and not to men. But with those here, and I leave it with you, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground. And I must needs go and see it. Although those here this evening that know what it is to have land, and the Lord knows how many of you who possess land, feelingly know in your soul's experience that the Lord has given it to you, that you are stewards of what he has given. But where there is gracious exercise, I know that there are those things that must be attended to on the land, because in my own earlier days, we were found in such work. We knew those times when there was so much to be done. But the point I would just mention is, you see, if we are left to put our farm first, our land first, our work first. So that these things take our time and attention so much that we neglect the means of grace. Now if we neglect the means of grace, we shall certainly find, if the Lord has put life into our soul, and oh, how solemn a thing it is to become a backslider. The Word of God speaks of backsliding souls that have slidden back from where they once were. And so often, it is the things of this life. We have it in the parable of the sower, of the seed that fell among thorns. And what did Jesus say of this? He said that the cares and anxieties of this life and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things creeping in choke the word, and such become unfruitful. Now, if there are any here tonight who are in a dead and lifeless state in your soul. And I know from experience that it's solemnly possible to be in such a state and yet to be unaware of it. To be so lifeless and so dead, so lukewarm, that we are unaware, unconcerned about our deathly state. But if any of you here tonight are mourning an absent God, or mourning over the fact that you are not what you once were in the sense of what you were favoured with, well, speaking for myself first, we have such need to examine ourselves to see whether indeed there is something in our life that is taking first place. And I just go on a little here. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. In our day, it is like a farmer buying a new tractor, and being so pleased with it, and so desirous to use it, that they would use it instead of going to the house of God. And I know from experience, painful experience, how soon we can be left to such a spirit. And then there's a third kind spoken of here, and another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. It, of course, refers to the things of this life. It is sometimes the case. And I do speak, I trust, with some feeling, the Lord having blessed me and my wife with 6 children, and there have been occasions when it is no easy thing for a husband to come to chapel and to leave his wife at home with the children. It is certainly not always possible for the children to come. And yet, in such things, where there is gracious concern, the Lord alone knows what can be done. I remember an occasion, perhaps this may prove to be a word in season. I remember an occasion when a young mother and husband who had 2 quite small children, the wife was so exercised before the Lord, and it was not her turn to go to chapel, but she had to say to her husband, oh, can I come? We must take the children to chapel tonight. I feel I must go. And the dear husband, because he was exercised about the matter too, he soon agreed to this. And they had to come to chapel. But that was an appointed time for the Lord to bless that dear young mother. Now, in that instance, the hand of the Lord was in it because he put it into her heart that she must come. Oh, whenever you have, the Lord knows all that is in your life, but oh, do not frustrate or quench the spirit in your life in these things. If you feel from time to time such a desire to come, and perhaps there are things that may stand in the way, but the Lord can overcome these things, and you will find that as the Lord gives gracious exercise, that he will bless your soul. Now, I trust that these thoughts are not out of keeping with what the prophet Haggai had to say to the people, that they might be brought to to hear the message contained in the text. So I would say now just to remind you that before this message could be delivered, "I am with you," saith the Lord, there had been there had been a refining work that the Lord had accomplished. And I feel that what I have tried to bring before you really is so in keeping with the truth contained here. It is evident that the people had come or had drifted into the sad neglect of the house of God. They had been more taken up with their own homes. The Lord had had to say to them, "Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie way?" I know that we're exhorted to look after what the Lord has given to us, but the teaching really in this is, if we are left to think more of time things and the things to do with our soul, when the things to do with our souls are uppermost, we shall be like the woman in the gospel. We shall leave our water pot. We shall do all we can to get to the service, whether on the Lord's day or in the week. There's an old saying, I know that this is in a sense not scriptural, but and yet there's much truth in it. Where there's a will, there is a way. Some of us here tonight have known what it is to feel so exercised about our souls that we've come straight from our daily duties to the house of God for the service. I trust I'm not saying this in a self-righteous kind of attitude or spirit. The Lord knows that I would not do this, but I have known what it is to be so exercised about my soul that I've had to go straight to chapel. Oh, what a wonderful thing to have a meal in the house of God, to be fed. Oh, if our souls are fed, we shall find then that the Lord will give that renewed vigour. Indeed, if we give up time to come to the house of God and then perhaps have to make some special effort to get that we must do accomplished, we shall find the Lord will not only honour this, we shall find that the Lord will not only bless our souls, but we shall find that the Lord will help us to get things done. Now this, I feel, is the right way round. So the prophet Haggai had had to say to the people twice in this first chapter, "Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your way." He doesn't say consider your way. It says, consider your way. Oh, it is a mercy to be brought to the feet of Jesus in this. Oh, I trust that even as I journeyed from Ashwell to Swayze this evening, I knew a measure of this in my own soul's feeling. Oh, how constantly one is brought to this point, consider your way. Are we seeking first his kingdom? Are we putting first things first? If your souls are in a dead state tonight, if you're having to say, my leanness, dear friends, I'm sure that there's a cause. There's a worm at the root. There's something in your life that needs to be put right. But not only did the prophet have to say this once, but such was the need of it, and it is also evident that they had not been dealing with the things of this life in a right way and with a right spirit. It's solemnly possible, and we live in such days, and the Lord's people are not exempt from this. We live in a day when people are constantly seeking more and more money and wishing that they will do less and less work. Now that's completely opposite to the teaching of the Word of God. And yet this kind of thing can get hold of a child of God sometimes. Oh, it is something indeed to be favoured to live in such a spirit as this, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that they had been favoured in this. Consider your way. They had considered their way. They had listened to what the prophet Haggai had to deliver. It's a wonderful thing when the Lord grants ears to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So in looking back over our lives tonight, and if the Lord has been dealing with you and you've had to consider your ways, you've had to consider your past life, and you may have been shown that there were things that were wrong in your life. You forsook the fountain of living waters. You hewed yourselves out cisterns that could hold no water. And where did it bring you? Why, it led you away from God. You may have given up going to chapel altogether. But if the Lord has brought you again to himself, he may have put his hand a second time to the work. You've had to consider your ways. You've had to see that the things that are in your life is because of where you're being. And now, just in coming to a close, then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. See, dear friends, this message was delivered to Zerubbabel, the governor. It was delivered to Joshua, the high priest, those in authority. It was delivered to all the people. And the Lord only knows if indeed the Lord has given me this message to come with tonight to Swayze Chapel. The Lord alone knows how many of us, and I've been preaching to myself, but the Lord alone knows how many of us will go home feeling the truth of this. Obey the voice of the Lord their God and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him. And the people did fear before the Lord. So it was in this blessed, humbled state. And the Lord knows those that he has been humbling, bringing down, refining. He's been sitting as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He's been watching over you and your life and your case. There's been a refining process, and it's all to make you sick of self and fond of him. But I can leave you now. I feel I can leave you with this message tonight. I am with you, saith the Lord. The Lord is with you. And I leave you with this. He'll never leave thee. Doubt it not in pain, in sickness, or in death. Amen.